This is Lynn Fosse, Senior Editor, CEO, CFO, and today we're interviewing Stephen Porter, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Therogenix Pharmaceuticals, Inc., that's ticker symbol CGXP on the OTC bulletin board. First, Mr. Porter, you've been CEO for about a year. How has Therogenix changed under your leadership?
Well, actually, I've been here a little longer than a year because I founded the company, but we have gone from basically a startup situation to a company that has cleared its first product, RX, through the FDA. We are about to commence what is going to be a seminal clinical study on our first prescription product, which we believe will lead to a commercialization and a partnership with a significant player in the atopic dermatitis market, which is $1 billion U.S. Sales market, and we're pretty excited about that happening within the first, we believe, 24 months of our existence. So it's very fast progress, and on top of that, we have been developing our other technology, which is a new class of antibiotic, and we will have a number of posters presented at the upcoming ICAC conference, which is the big conference on anti-infectives in September. So we've made a lot of progress in a very short time, and I'm very pleased with it.
Is there a connection between the infectious disease and dermatology segments, or is it just two technologies that you've got a handle on?
Well, I guess it could be argued both sides. Number one, the first barrier to pathogenic invasion is your skin barrier itself, the stratum corneum, and what is embedded in the stratum corneum and the outer layers of skin, which is sort of the second line of defense, is our innate immune system, which are long-chain antimicrobial peptides, which will attack, among other things, gram-positive, gram-negative bacteria, some cancers, viruses, fungi. It's a pretty broadly effective defense. And what our serogenix, our antibiotic, is a mimic of these antimicrobial peptides. So in a sense, there is synergy. One of the two defensive lines that protect us from invasion are embodied in the two technologies that we own.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about the specific product. Tell me about Epicerum and just what it's expected to do and just where you are with it now.
Well, Epicerum is based on a discovery made by Dr. Peter Lass, who's the leading research dermatologist in the world. And it essentially is an understanding of the core precipitating factor in atopic dermatitis and actually a broad range of skin dermatoses, and that is a disrupted barrier function. And your barrier is basically made up of skin cells called corneocytes that are sort of the bricks, and then the mortar are three fats in the stratum corneum called ceramides, cholesterol, and two fatty acids. And what Peter discovered is that if you're atopic, you have a global deficiency of these three lipids and a pronounced deficiency in the ceramides, and also discovered that you can bring skin back to normal health by applying these three lipids in the correct molar ratio topically, and that's what is incorporated into the Epicerum, and that we will be testing in a head-to-head study against mid-strength steroids coming up here. The study kicks off in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And what's the timetable once the study is done?
Well, it's a 30-day study, and we expect that worst case it'll take 60 days to enroll. There's two sites, there'll be 90 patients, for 45 that will be on mid-strength steroid, 45 that will be on of Epicerum, and there will be two types of measures that are going to be done. One is subjective, which is the what's called SCORAD and OSAD. These are objective, these are subjective visual assessments of things like redness and erythema, that sort of thing. The objective measurement, which is a little more precise, is a measure of transepidermal water loss. And if your barrier is not intact and disrupted, your skin doesn't hold moisture, which is why you have dry skin or you have itching, that sort of thing. So these are going to be the measurements and the endpoints, and we expect to complete the whole thing in about 90 days with data assessment and statistical analysis, which will probably take another 30 days after that.
I'm assuming that things turn out as expected. Will you be partnering, or how will you, you know, what's happened?
Well, we are currently in dialogue with several major players in the space. It's, as you can imagine, it's a little over $1 billion in the U.S., and what's particularly exciting, and you have two types of drugs that are used topically now. One is a variety of steroids in low, mid, and high strength. And then the other drugs are immune system suppressants, immunomodulators like Elidel and Protopic. Last year, they were labeled with the black box warning from the FDA that they may cause cancer. Their sales were off dramatically as a result of that. And topical steroids is a therapy that most docs don't like to prescribe if they can avoid it, and most moms don't like to put that on their kids. And so our product will be coming out, we believe, demonstrating equal efficacy to a mid-strength steroid, which is the lion's share of the market, and completely safe. You can put it on a baby. You're essentially treating the skin with its own chemistry, and we think that is going to be a major product, you know, if all things go well, and I think that's the reason we have so many pharmaceutical companies at present talking with us. And the international market, it's a huge problem in the Pacific Rim and Northern Europe, so there's subsequent partnering that can take place for those markets as well.
And this might sound very naive, is skin skin in terms of something like this? Does it matter the type of skin or the ethnicity? Would you need a different product or different product?
No, actually, it doesn't. It's more has to do with whether or not you are living in an industrial nation. Since 1970, the incidence of atopic dermatitis has tripled. But if you go to places like, let's say, Guatemala, they don't have much eczema. If you take Guatemalans and move them to the United Kingdom, where they have a lot of eczema, the Guatemalans as a population will end up with a higher percentage of eczema than the native in UK population. So it has something to do with industrialization. It has to do with maybe some toxins, whatever, but it's genetic. You, for the most part, it's inherited. 65-70% of people that have eczema will have it by the time they're 6 months of age, and it's something typically, when you hit puberty, you sort of grow out of the active stage, but for the rest of your life you'll be atopic, and you will periodically get patches of eczema, so it never really goes away.
Okay, and it's a good product for you to be selling.
Yeah, it's as Dr. Elias says, if you're a healthy person and you take vitamin C, you really can't notice a difference. But if you give vitamin C to somebody with scurvy, the effect is immediate and profound. And that's a good analogy to what we're doing with our product, Epicerum. It's a deficiency. The product is immediately effective. You notice the itching stopping at once. And there are broad range of skin dermatoses that had as a precipitating factor barrier disruption, and this is the only way to repair the barrier. So we're quite fortunate, and we're very excited, as you can imagine.
All right, now tell me a little more about CSA 13.
Well, the CSA 13, or serogenins, as we call them, we have about 12 to 15 identified molecules. CSA 13 is our lead molecule. It has demonstrated very, very pronounced efficacy in testing against gram-positive bacteria like methicillin-resistant staph. It has also been very effective against the new strains of vancomycin-resistant staph, which is exciting because vancomycin is considered the drug of last resort, and now there are four strains of staph that are completely resistant to vancomycin. But it also works on the gram-negatives, like Pseudomonas aeruginosa. There's a strain of Pseudomonas that is completely resistant to tobramycin, which is the lead drug for gram-negatives, and that's the bacteria that is so problematic in cystic fibrosis patients. So it works very effectively across a broad range. What's interesting, people might ask, well, why is that and how is that? All of these bacteria, many of these cancers, viruses, we've already disclosed that we're effective against influenza, and we're testing on H5N1 bird flu, but they all have one thing in common, which is very interesting. They all have a negatively charged membrane. And we are a positive or cationically charged molecule, and we attack the membrane, and we disrupt it and literally tear it apart. And all other antibiotics mostly work by targeting different aspects of the replicating process of the bacteria, and they can find, particularly staph, is very good at finding ways around that. But in a couple of million years of human existence, they haven't found a way to mutate around our natural antimicrobial peptides, which are also cationic. And so we have we're highly optimistic that there will not be an effective mutational response to this molecule. That makes it particularly interesting. And it's also, as I said, we've published and put out information on its effect on certain cancers, and it is also effective on certain fungi, all of them sharing this characteristic negatively charged membrane.
Development is always an expensive proposition. What's the financial picture of serogenics today?
Well, we are adequately financed going forward. I think we'd have to call it a shorter horizon than most pharmaceutical companies look at. But I think we reported in our last Q something over $3 million in the bank. And we're fairly virtual. We only have five people in the company. We have a very low burn rate. It's around $200,000 a month. We have a number of pharmaceutical companies interested in multiple applications of both technologies. And because we don't just have one technology for which we have to get everything out of in a partnering transaction, we can partner early with some of these other applications and not ask for as much up front because we don't, you know, because we literally have so many that we can pursue. But our business model is to partner, create strategic relationships, involve our partners in the development and underwriting the development of some of these applications. And there's one or two that we're going to bring to market ourselves, and we're pursuing those. But, you know, I'm sure at some point in the future we'll go through a round of financing. That's pretty standard for most development stage pharmaceutical companies. But we're hoping that our near-term commercialization opportunities with both the Episerum and on the CSA side, we have the ability to get products through the FDA on a shorter path as coatings for indwelling medical devices that would be cleared as devices. we can bring some revenue to the company and get to a cash flow positive situation faster than what is traditionally anticipated in a developing pharmaceutical entity.
What else would you say to potential investors? Why is now a good time to look at Sterigenics?
Well, you know, we are not on a lot of radar screens, but we are relatively close to what is going to be a significant commercialization opportunity. If I was going to characterize the company and say what makes us unique, I think it's that we have terrific science, but we also have a very strong marketing and sales focus. We are emphasizing our near-term commercialization opportunities. Most of the product applications or patient populations that we are aggressively pursuing do not have current therapies that are either in favor or even exist. On our application for neonates, for example, premature babies on the barrier repair, there is no current therapy. And so the product that we're in development with on that would be facing literally no competitive response. I think that if you have a completely safe therapy that has equivalent efficacy to a mid-strength steroid in the atopic dermatitis market, that is going to be one that is going to be, I think it's reasonable and not a stretch to say that's one that's going to be very attractive, not just to the physicians, but to the moms out there that are using this on their children. So I think we have very unique competitive positioning. We have near-term commercialization opportunities. We have some profound technologies that have multiple applications that afford us a variety of commercialization pathways. Some we're going to take ourselves. The neonate application we will bring through to the market ourselves if we're successful in our clinical studies. But we have multiple strategic partnering opportunities because of the broad range these two platforms have given us in terms of a variety of discrete conditions for which we believe we have a very good answer. So, you know, I think we're different. We're unique. Our burn rate's low. You know, we're aggressive on the marketing and sales side. And I think we're a near-term, we're somebody to keep your eye on.
Okay, very good. Thank you.